Bible says, Acts chapter 1, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Lord, I thank you for power. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to testify for you. I thank you for a call, Lord, and the opportunity to join with you in the plan for the reconciliation of this planet, Lord, to your glorious designs. Lord, I pray an awakening that would come this morning. I pray an awakening that would come in the next 6 weeks, Lord, as we would, as a group, come to understand what you have for us, the opportunities that are before us, and the power that is available to us to step into those opportunities, that we would indeed see a transformation in our very midst, Lord. That we would see, Lord, this building shake, Lord, by your Spirit as you shook buildings in the book of Acts, Lord, as the believers gathered together in prayer, Lord. By your Spirit, let us be shaken, Lord. And we will give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, good morning to you. God is indeed good. Can I get a witness on that? God has given us a lot of food around here. We're going to have food today. Elsie's mother's, this is the anniversary of Elsie's mother's passing. And the, now how do you say that? Mamusa? The, it stands for, the letters stand for something, right? But anyway, it's a Micronesian church is going to be coming over after church or during church or sometime. There's a whole pig coming in. There's all this stuff coming in. And so, yes, you come around here, you will be blessed with food. Part of that blessing I experienced on Friday, as I, on Tuesdays and Fridays, go pick up groceries or food from Food for Less, and my car was indeed, full with food, and so my Volvo, my newer Volvo, shall we say, new to me, which has turbo. And my dad always said, don't get a car with turbo. It's just something that you don't really need. It's just something that's just going to break. And luckily on Friday, I indeed did have turbo in my car, and it was indeed functioning because the road was blocked, and JJ and I were there. JJ's on vacation, and so we were getting the food. Lisa had something else going on. We were filled and had to go the other way. It was blocked off, and I pull out, and here is this van barreling down on me. That's it? Compassion only from my wife. Probably. All right, let's try it. And here was this van barreling down on me. Yes, thank you very much. And JJ. See, that's who got the compassion from my wife. See, yes, he was seeing through it all. But I slammed down that gas accelerator, and boom, the turbo kicked in, and we were catapulted out of danger. I was glad I had turbo. On Friday, I needed it. We're talking about Pentecost. We're talking about the power of Pentecost. We're talking about becoming turbocharged believers. Last week, we talked about a poverty of power. We talked about the disciples who were indeed right after the resurrection of our Lord, right after that first Passover, were not getting much done. That they were indeed gathering in fear, that they were behind locked doors and they had a little bit of a need for some turbocharging. Can I get a witness on that? A lack of spiritual power and fervor. Jesus promised them that they would receive this power, that there would be a conversion that happened in the lives of the disciples. And in fact, we don't really know them so much. I mean, in my mind, when I think of them as the apostles. Can I get a witness on that? You know, they're called the disciples. Disciples means a learner, a student of the Lord, a student of the Word. But apostles are sent ones. And there is a transition that as they move from being the disciples to being the apostles, and that transition surrounds the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That baptism of the Holy Spirit turbocharges these disciples so that they are able to receive and respond to the call of God and the opportunity of God to indeed transform the history of the world. Amen. The promise of power. Jesus says, it's coming. Don't leave the city. We study the power of Pentecost. Our second message, the promise of power. Because it is God's desire to create a people, turn off their phones, and display the glory of God. My question for you this morning is that you? How much, I mean, I don't know, how many of you got up this morning, and between the time you got up and the time that you walked into this building, even gave a thought about displaying the glory of God in your life? You know, for the past several weeks, I wake up, and the first thing that pops into my mind, I say, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you. I mean, it is an incredible blessing to serve you and to serve the Lord in this place. I am often overwhelmed by that opportunity. Last week, I ended our time as we looked at Changed for Change, and we looked at this poverty of power, and I said, how many here really have a desire to show this glory of God in their lives? And four people said, that is what I so want to do. There were some that kind of jumped in a little bit later, but there were four. Of those four, one is here today. Because when you want to glorify God in your life, and when you stand up, because I said, stand up, the devil's going to be looking. And the devil is going to bring some attack against you. And perhaps this morning you will be thinking, I want to indeed glorify God in my life. I want to be turbocharged for the Lord. This week, the devil's going to say, oh, really? Turbocharged for Jesus? I don't think so. And there will be obstacles that come your way. There will be challenges that come your way, just like that van rolling down on me on Friday. And you're going to have the opportunity to put your foot down and kick that turbo in, or say, oh, I was just joking. I hope you're not joking. Because I tell you what, the Lord's not a joke. And what he would call you to do is bigger than life. Can I get a witness on that? Amen, amen, amen. All right. Transformation is a multi-step process. We are indeed taking a look at the transformation of the disciples into the apostles. We take a look at John chapter 1, verse 29. Bible says, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And if you are going to be transformed in your existence for the Lord Jesus Christ, your first step is dealing with sin. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Got some heads nodding on that. See, sin stands in the way of a lot of things. Have you found that to be true? Sin will stand in between you and your relationship with the Lord. Sin will indeed keep you out of church. Can I get a witness on that? Why? Because you just feel so stinking guilty. And you just want to hide. And that sin, that guilt will just weigh you down and keep you from that dynamic relationship with the Lord and all that He has for you. So the Lord presents, our Lord Jesus Christ provides the opportunity, provides you the remedy for sin in your life. That He indeed is the Lamb of God. Bible says, Paul writing to the church in Corinth, second letter, he says, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So you come in here this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. There is a weight of guilt that is upon your shoulders. Perhaps this week you made some poor choices. There is a weight of guilt that is upon your shoulders. And perhaps you struggled to even get here today because of that guilt. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, presented Himself as a sacrifice of God to be placed upon a cross, mocked and spit upon, as a remedy for your sin. You come in with guilt this morning. There is a solution. Jesus' sacrifice opens the way for us to enter into a right relationship with Him. That we indeed become light in the midst of darkness. That as we are saved, as we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that is your cue, young man. Never mind. That we are indeed going to shine in the darkness. I had this great illustration, but we have missed it. There's a second step. This is the one, John, continuing to read from John chapter 1. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. JG, you're too late, buddy. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on Him. I would not have known Him except the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. A second step. So we talk about salvation. We talk about receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We talk about His sacrifice being applied to your account. We talk about your surrender of your life to Him, that indeed you might be transformed. Sin is dealt with in your life. The second component of that, or an additional component to that, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We talk about step one and we talk about step two. And in fact, Paul says that we should be filled with the Holy Spirit, which talks about being filled and continually being refilled and refilled. So it is a two-step process, but it is indeed a continuous walk with the Lord in which the Holy Spirit would continue to transform your life. Amen? So what we see is Jesus' sacrifice on the cross applied to your account, and then Jesus would baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It is like a 1-2 punch, that God the Son would come into your life, and then God the Holy Spirit would indeed transform your very existence. Are you tracking with me? We're going to make it clear. We got 6 more weeks on Pentecost. Talk about shining. Talk about shining the light of the Lord. It is the Holy Spirit which enables you to shine in the darkness. Amen. I got to do this. All right, JJ, hit those lights now very rapidly. Thank you. Because I got all this stuff built on this, so now I got to do it. So it gets dark. Dark. Darker. Darker. And we shine. See that? See how cool that is? Does that make sense? No? See? We shine in the darkness. It is the Holy Spirit. Okay, JJ, you can turn that off. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Turn the light. There we go. Okay. You can speed it up a little bit, JJ. All right. It is the Holy Spirit that Jesus says guides us into truth. It is the Holy Spirit that transforms our existence. And we're talking about two different baptisms here. We are talking about a baptism of water. And in fact, some of you have asked me about being baptized in water. We baptized right back here. And we will have water baptism on Memorial Day. Okay? Some of you want to be baptized in water. And it is a display of dying to your old life and being raised to new life. It is a display. It is like a memorial. It is a replay, per se. This baptism of the Holy Spirit is the real deal endowment with power that comes into your life that you might be transformed. Amen. We are going to talk about what that looks like and how that occurs in the coming weeks. But both of these acts, this water baptism and spirit baptism, they signify a transformation in your life. Amen. Are you following me? Amen. I have been transformed by the Lord in my life. I have talked about you, described to you how I received Him, but I was transformed in an incredibly tangible way on a Sunday night in church. I was saved and the presence of the Lord in my life and shining the light, you know. I was pretty ballistic. And you know, realistically, I was pretty annoying. I worked with a Muslim, I worked with a Mormon, and I worked with a bunch of pagans when I got saved because I wasn't a Christian. I had no understanding of who the Lord was. Kind of like Catholic light growing up, you know, so I had a little understanding. But so I would listen to sermons all day long, and I would play them loud because I would think I was doing the Lord's work by forcing everybody I worked with to listen to these sermons I was listening to. How annoying I was. Like, just imagine. But I was lit. I was excited. But God was looking for more than me to be annoying. Presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, the baptism of the Holy Spirit will empower you, will turbocharge you to make an impact for Him. Amen. That's what we're talking about in these coming weeks. Second point. God's people are marked by His presence. I was marked by the presence of the Holy Spirit. We go back 600 years before Christ. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt because they broke my covenant. Though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. God makes a promise of change. He makes a promise of change to people who had broken His previous contract, His previous covenant, His previous deal. He said, you know, I took you out of Egypt. You were slaves. I set you free. I put you in the land flowing with milk and honey. I put you in the promised land where you lived and lived in houses that you didn't build. And you fell away from me. And in fact, He makes this promise to the prophet Jeremiah as Babylon has surrounded Jerusalem to destroy it, as judgment for breaking the first covenant. So can you get the picture? It would be as if our church was surrounded by ISIS. and they are attacking us, and the Lord says, I'm going to make a promise that I'm going to be with you in a mighty way. And you think, well, why not be with us now? But the Lord says, you broke my first covenant. I'm going to make another covenant with you. And it's going to be an incredibly personal covenant. I'm going to write my law on your mind, and I'm going to write my law on your heart. The reason he writes it on our minds and our hearts, because it's a whole lot harder to break the deal when it's written on your heart. Can I get a witness on that? He's saying, I might want to take a closer step to you. You enter into this covenant when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You enter into this new covenant when you surrender your life to the Lord. And you take his life on to you. Paul says that as that happens, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Jesus says to Nicodemus, when you do this, it is like being born brand new, that you are indeed born again. And you are transformed in your very existence. It is the Holy Spirit that is the instrument that God uses to write his law on your heart. Jesus says, when he comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. This is a big deal. God is playing for keeps. God is not looking to just come on the edge of your life and make it a little nicer. You know, a lot of people think that of God is like little covers that you put on your couch. You know, it's like, hey, man, if it gets dirty, that's okay. I got covers on. No. God's a new couch. God's a new house. Can I get a witness on that? So if you're just trying to fit God in as like a little condiment in your life, it's like putting ketchup or something on your hot dog. No, it's not like that. It's a whole change. Amen. See, we are guided by God. Jeremiah continues to say, chapter 31, verse 34, no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother saying, know the Lord. Because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. Guided by God, I come in here today and I am telling you something that you have already heard, that the Lord has already spoken to your heart. I am merely reminding or bringing to mind that which the Lord has already planted there. Seven messages we are looking at in the power of Pentecost, and I started several weeks ago asking, Lord, what do you want to tell your people? Because I got nothing to say to you. I'm only telling you what God has told me to tell you. Amen. And that's why some people come and say, man, you spoke that right to my heart. Have you ever felt that? Man, I felt that. I've been sitting in my seat, don't say my name. I have four people come up and say the exact same thing. So I have no clue. The Holy Ghost doing a work in you. Today the Lord speaks to you. It's not me. Lord is already speaking to you. It's because he had something set up this morning. Those three people who didn't show up, they're not hearing it. You are here. This coming week, there's stuff arrayed against you that are going to cause you to grab onto the Holy Spirit to get through. Amen. You grab on or not, get turbocharged or not. But there is a power that is available. There is turbo that is available for you. Being guided by God. What do you want me to say? See, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into our life, when we surrender our life to him and our sin is removed, it opens the door for the Holy Spirit to come in and to take residence in us. John writes, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says, as for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. See, the ground at the cross, before the cross, is level. There's nobody who's got any preferential treatment. We are all made the same. We are all made different from the world and the same as each other. And that way, when we come together, there is that camaraderie of being brothers and sisters in the Lord. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit that teaches us and trains us and guides us so that we come into this place, just go, oh, yeah, feels good being in here. The presence of the Holy Spirit is He that transforms our very existence. That transformed existence, God will put you in a whole new direction in your life. Amen. If you let Him. If you let Him. I told you about being transformed in my life, getting new direction on a Sunday night. I'm freaking out all my co-workers at church, playing my sermon so loud and all that kind of stuff, and talking to them a little bit, you know, reading books on how to witness to a Mormon, how to witness to a Muslim, all this stuff, how to witness to a pagan, all those things. I'm just fired up for the Lord, and this missionary comes on a Sunday night, and he begins to describe his plan or burden, call, desire to start the first of its kind computer school in Latin America. Whoa. And he talks about how they want to take a Latin American childcare school, and that it would be completely computerized, and that we would teach these children and catapult them beyond what any other school would be available to them at the time. God is speaking right to my heart. I'm a computer guy. I know manufacturers that would give us the computers. I know manufacturers that would give us the software. And I am lit by God. I go forward that night and say, Lord, whatever you want. Wherever you want me to go, I will go. But Lord, I just hear you calling me to this school in Latin America. Just like that alarm going off. I mean, there's no getting away from it. So I call this guy. It's Monday morning. And I go, I was at church last night. He was like, you know, I was in Sacramento. He was in San Jose. It's 2 hours away. You know, kind of like be like in Orange County. I said, I'm your guy. And you know what? That guy thought I was a nut. He was laughing. How long have you been saved? I said, like 9 months. I go, but I'm ready to go, man. I can get you all this stuff. He goes, where will you stay? I said, I'll stay with you. He said, what will you eat? I said, won't you feed me? And he goes, no. That's not how it works. And in about 1 minute, I got a rude introduction to how it works. But that day, I went to my partner and said, you want to buy me out? And he said, in a second, I'll buy you out. I called over the Bible college. It was 2 hours away. I said, I want to become a student. How long have you been saved? 9 months. It's okay. You'll be a year saved by the time you get here. 2 years later, I was graduated, licensed, married to my wife, and headed down to Mexico. And 25 years later, I'm standing right here preaching to you. Amen. Listening to a really annoying alarm out there. I hope that's none of your cars. Those things stop after a while? What? Oh, is that it? All right. The baptism makes a change. Joel 2:28. And afterward. All right. Now, this is Joel, like 400 years before Christ. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. God will give you an upgrade. We are looking into the power of Pentecost. We are looking at the promise of power. And God describes here a work that He would do in His people. A work that He would do through His people. Now, prophesying is something similar to what I'm doing up here, a forthtelling of the Word of God. And sometimes it will come as a lightning bolt, per se, from God. Sometimes it happens with Roki. Maybe you remember Larry Freeman, that they would speak and they would prophesy that there are dreams and that there are visions and these are supernatural occurrences. My question for you is this morning is, do you want to have a supernatural existence? Do you want to move from the natural plane of existence where everything makes sense and you can control everything and move into the kingdom of God where supernatural things occur in your life because God has something bigger in store than you, for you, than you can accomplish on your own? Amen. So the question you ask is, are you even interested? Because some people say, nah, not really. I mean, you can know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can be headed to heaven and not be baptized in the Spirit. You can be a learner. There's something more. Something that is available if you want to step into the plan of God. The disciples became apostles because they were called by the Lord. The disciples became apostles because they were empowered by the Holy Spirit in their life. This text, this promise that God makes through the prophet Joel is what occurred on the day of Pentecost. And I'll bring this more clear to you in the coming weeks as we talk about Pentecost, 50 days between Passover and Pentecost. We're about 2 weeks into that now. But Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he says, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. What was spoken of by the prophet Joel? Afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. There will be dreams. There will be visions. There will be supernatural exchange between me and my people. Question is, do you want in on it? Are you looking for turbo? Do you need turbo? Visions, dreams, prophecies. Turbo if you need it. The question is, do you need it? Last thing. We can receive power for a testimony. And this is what it comes down to. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is what turbo is for. This is what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for. It is not so that you can feel good about yourself. We had a guy come in several weeks ago. Pastor Paul and I were talking to him. He wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit so he could be sure that he was saved. That's not what it's for. There's all kinds of other things that will happen in your life. You can ask me, ask Pastor Paul, ask somebody who's saved. You think I'm saved? And they'll say, I don't know. Or they'll say, dude, you are so saved. You are so confused. You can turn your sermons down in the tech room, you know. You're just freaking everybody out. You're not getting much done. But you're definitely saved, man, because you're incredibly annoying. And the more time you spend with the Lord, the more edge will come off. But people will know. The Bible says that our spirit testifies if you know him or not. But you want to be a witness? Turbo's available. Power's available. A second gear is available. Moving to a whole nother level is available. You want to extend your life into the power of God and into the plan of God. Turbo's available. You want to get into the plan of God? You're going to have to let your plan drip off to the side. God says, I'll tell you what. You want victory? You let your plans for success go. I'll give you victory. And I'll give you the power that'll get you there. And some people say, I don't think so. Where are you at today? There's turbo if you need it. A lot of people just don't need it because they're not moving beyond what they can accomplish on their own. Where are you at? Lisa, you want to come up? When I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I wanted to know, I wanted everything that I could find in the Lord. I would introduce myself to everybody at church. I introduced myself to my wife over and over and over again. That's kind of annoying, huh?
You remember my name. Yeah.
But you know, it was so real. And it was so new, and it was so much life, where I'd known only death before. And you know what? I didn't look back. And I was casting things out of my life, trying to anyway. And I heard about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I left my church. I thought these guys were nuts. And I went for 6 months from church to church to church to church, and all any of these churches were ever talking about was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going, this is crazy. It was because the Lord had a plan for my life. And no matter where I went, because I kept on saying, Lord, I want all that you have for me. I want all that you have for me. But not that. All that you have for me, but not that. And he goes, that's what I got for you. 6 months it took. And I went, oh, is that what you have for me? He said, yes. I said, oh, Lord. And it still took me several months. Do you need turbo? Do you even want it? Are you looking to have all the God you can get, all of the plan of the Lord functioning in your life, all of your life functioning in the plan of the Lord? It causes you to set aside some of the stuff that you got for you and say, Lord, here I am. That's the power of Pentecost. That's the promise of the power of Pentecost. Jesus says, don't go anywhere. Some of them left. Don't leave the city until you're clothed from on high. Man, I'm out of here. But there was 120 believers that gathered in prayer for 10 days in the upper room. And on the day of Pentecost, they got turbocharged. Power from heaven descended upon them. And you know what? They all needed it. Because their lives were incredibly transformed and they changed history. History's still being changed by God, folks. You're here this morning. Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Because I tell you what, I was so lost. I was so messed up. I was so messed up. It took me a year to get my brain on straight. Once I know the Lord Jesus Christ, He can work with anybody. Pastor Carl is saying, hey, I'm one too. I don't care where you're at. You can become a world changer. And he says, I'll turbocharge your life. But you got to set down your goals and look for my victory. Lord, I thank you for these that are here this morning. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to receive you as my Savior. That there is a remedy for my sin, that you hung on the cross, Lord, that I would be set free from the bondage of death. You're here this morning, and you're lost. This is not about turbocharge, not about power, this is just about being saved. You are lost in sin, and you're saying, I feel so guilty. I felt guilty when I woke up this morning. I felt ashamed getting ready for church. I felt ashamed to walk in here. I don't know how to deal with my guilt. You have no ability to deal with your guilt outside the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want that guilt dealt with. You say, Lord, here I am. I'm so guilty. I am such a sinner. Will you forgive me, Lord? I will receive your sacrifice on the cross for me. Set me free from this life of sin. Set me free from this life of guilt, Lord. I will serve you with my life. Nobody looking around. That's you this morning. It's not the focus of our time this morning, but I do not want to pass this by this morning. If the Lord is speaking to your heart, you need to surrender your life to the Lord. You don't know him as your Savior. Nobody looking around. And this is you. And the Lord's saying, this is you. You're going to hell right now. I'll save you. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, that's me this morning. Here, here, here. Anybody else? Say, that's me. That's me. Hey, man, I see your hand right there. You can put it down, bro. Last shot. Last shot. Lord, for these three that have put their hand up, Lord, I thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. Lord, I thank you for the others in this room that, Lord, feel guilt-free because of your blood shed on the cross. Lord, for those who have said no to you this morning, I lift them up to you, Lord, whatever it takes this week, Lord. Whatever it takes this week, Lord, that they would come to bend a knee to you. In Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Pastor Carlos back there praying. Let's just continue to pray. Lord, there are those that are here this morning. As they hear of the opportunity for a closer walk with you, a second step, Lord, a turbocharging of purpose of life and power of life. Lord is speaking your heart and says, I have something for you. I have something for you. It is going to cost you your view of life right now. I would offer you to walk with me in a life that is bigger than what you can manage. A life in which you must have power from on high to move through situations, that you would testify for me, that you would be a witness for me, that you would find my victory in my challenges, and I would use you like you never, ever imagined before. Everything will change. And that's you this morning. And I'll talk to you. You're going to have a tough week. 3 out of 4 didn't make it back. They're saying, I want to go to the upper tier. I want to get into the battle where it is the hottest. Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. But Lord, I'm your man. I'm your woman. I'm your teenager. I'm your old person. Lord, I hear your voice speaking to my heart. Nobody looking around. I want to be radically transformed in my existence. I want to know you in a much, much mightier way, Lord. This is me. I am hearing you, Lord. Nobody looking around. I just want you to slide your hand up. Here. Here and here and here. Amen. Like that. Yeah, back there. Hallelujah. Put your hand down. Put your hand down. Put your hand down. You're sure? You sure? All right. Last chance. Didn't put your hand up. Lord's on you. Right there, I got you. Your hand's over there. Anybody else? Didn't put your hand up. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you 25 years ago on a Sunday night. Confused young man, being annoying to all of his people around him, Lord, heard from you. You have guided my steps, Lord. They have been challenging, but they have been empowered and turbocharged, Lord. When I have needed power, the pedal is there, and your spirit guides me and directs me, Lord. I thank you that I am able to serve you in a mighty way, Lord, that mighty because of your presence, that your call in my life, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I am so humbled by being able to serve you in this place, Lord. I pray for each person, Lord. Express that interest this morning, Lord. I pray, We take a look at the power of Pentecost. We take a look at the power that comes, the ability to set aside our goals, Lord, to pick up your goals, Lord, that we would be transformed in our existence, Lord, and receive your power to accomplish your plans in our lives. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
We're going to sing. The worship team's going to come. I'll pray with you. You want to kneel? You can kneel. You want to pray? You want to sing? But you got to stand. You got to stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.